It's the 2nd of December 2016 in the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California. This is your internet pastor, retired pastor, but still doing it in his mind, in his heart, in his head, John E. Coleman. You've come to my website, and I'm glad. Thanks for visiting. Little music in the background by Johnny Blair, Lighten Up. And that's what I want you to do, is to lighten up with me as we speak about Bible, whether it's still relevant in a society today that's castigated everything away. You know, is God still relevant? Do we still ask the great deity of all humankind to enter into our relations with one another? Can he really calm our spirits? Yeah, he can do it if we allow him the access into our lives. Allowing him, we need to lighten up, as Johnny proposes in his music right now. Here in the studio, this is a Friday in Los Angeles, not a cloud in the sky. The sun is coming out. It's been brisk, cool mornings, but nice, 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 nice. I'll be back after Johnny gives this great introduction to introduce you to more themes and to more things. How about that? Okay? Okay. Just picking up my Bible. You want to pick it up with me? Let's have some fun together. Let's go to the book of Psalms. You know, that's in the Old Testament. And we're going to read through some stuff together, right? All right. Thank you, Johnny Blair, for that great introduction. I'd like you to turn to the 91st Psalm with me in the Old Testament scripture, in the Jewish Bible, if you will. And as we go to that scripture, we're going to read together and we're going to figure out exactly what God might be saying to our hearts today. And it's important that we do that. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. You know, a lot of times we dwell in the shelter of our finances, our paychecks, how much we're worth, our real value. You know, we try to figure out what the heck our real value is. But in this verse, security is found in God, not necessarily in the things that we think that we have going on in our lives. Verse 2 really helps us. It says, I will say to the Lord. In other words, see, this is where my communication is going to. My communication is not necessarily going to my neighbor. I was speaking with a young man, and he says, have you noticed another young man is rather frustrated? I says, right, because there's no connect with God. There's a connect in their own lives and trying to figure it out, and that only seems to be more confusing. But look what it says. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. See, the psalmist is saying everything is directed at God. It's not directed at me, and I'm not trusting in me. I'm trusting solely in God. God has this thing all under his understanding, under his direction in my life. I'm thinking about me. People ask me, well, are you going to work today? No, I pick up less and less work. Well, what are you doing? As I said, I'm working in my office. Yeah, but you're no longer a pastor. You're no longer pastor of church. You're no longer putting sermons together. Right, you can go to my website and hear one of my sermons. I haven't changed. I haven't changed in what I believe. I haven't changed in how I address the situation that I'm confronting. Because I ask God in my life all the time. Look at verse 3. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper. See, I'm not worried about the IRS, though I should be, because I know I got another bill coming in a couple of days, and I need this money to pay him off. But I'm not worried because God is going to take care of me in some way or the other. And from the deadly pestilence. What are the pestilences that's facing us today? Put your trust in God. Lean on him. Let him direct your every path. You know, I like what it says in the book of Proverbs when it talks about that. And we may flip over into that in a few more minutes. But let's continue in here. It says, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You need a bulwark. See, God will be your refuge and help in a time of need. We have to believe that, trust in that, depend upon that, to rely upon that. Those are the terms that I was using years ago when I was a young Christian man. Still using them today because they are relevant today. What do you know about the guy that played the theme music, Johnny Blair? What I know about him is that Johnny Blair, years ago, belonged to a wild charismatic group back in Pennsylvania. He and his wife, Cassie, approached me, and I gave them correct biblical understanding and teaching years ago. And they got out of that church. Wherever Johnny is, he made his music with a God sense in his life. You may not agree with who he's playing with today and stuff like that, but he's a friend of mine, always made good music, and I'm so glad for the opportunity. I just found the CD in my stacks of music somewhere. I have so much music around me that I've garnered and used over the years in my life. Oh, I love it. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. Let's go there. Because you see, and look here, my Bible opened up to a place where it always opens up to. I love this. Proverbs chapter 3, I want you to start reading with me at verse 5. As a matter of fact, I'm going to try to take a picture of this outline and put it up on the website because I have it all detailed right here in my Bible already outlined. So I'm going to try to take a picture of that, put that up when I do this website, and so you know where I'm coming to you from. Look what it says in verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Now, in other words, when you see that term trust, that means be hopeful, be secure, okay? Have confidence, take refuge in. That's what that means when you look at it. In the Hebrew, what does trust entail? It's just not a fly-by-night gesture. It's your everything, your sole intent. When you're down to no food to eat, no shelter, you can trust in him. I don't know why human arrogance is so strong these days. I don't have to do that. No, you want to do that in the Lord, in Yahweh. Jehovah, that's what it's saying, with all your heart. And I'd like to add this, with all your heart, which is your will and your intellect. See, you want to do that, and do not lean. And in other words, don't rest on your own knowledge, on your own wisdom or understanding. You see, because when you trust in God, you're not resting or trusting in who you are. Not at all. And then what it says in verse 6, it says, in all of your ways acknowledge him. In other words, in all of the things that you come to, acknowledge him in it. If you get the position, the job, if you get the promotion, even if you don't get the promotion, and you stay where you are, but you're still working. Acknowledge Him. Okay, give God the glory. Give God the praise. You know, when God says, I'm a jealous God and I will have no other God before me, He wants you to give Him the adoration and the praise for what He is doing in your life. And He will make your path straight. In other words, He will direct you. He will do that. See, you can't guide yourself. I try to tell these young men, you don't have any power. You may have the power to beat somebody down. You may have the power to choke somebody out, but you don't have the power to direct. No, you need God to do that. And it's not about being powerful over the other person. When you look at the idea of these video games and you see the way these young people play them, it's always trying to beat down their opponent. You're trying to beat somebody else down. You're trying to beat them to the punch. It's not about that. It's really not about that at all. Now listen, listen, listen. And He will direct your paths. And then it says in verse 7, do not be wise. This is wonderful. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. In other words, this is reverentially fear Him, not to be afraid to come near Him. Because if you are fear to come near Him, you wouldn't come into the presence of God. And God is not a man that you should shake and fear Him like that. God is a spirit. And so when you think of Jesus, you're thinking of this connection. You see, the representation of God found in a man. And Jesus was not a European. You know, I keep telling third world people that Jesus was not a white man. I keep telling people this. You got to get this out of your mind, out of your idea. He didn't come from that. He wasn't a Mediterranean guy trying to find his way. I have so much difficulty explaining this to black people. Jesus was not a white man. He was never a white man. And so when I see a caricature of Jesus, I'm not thinking about a white man. I'm not even thinking about a black man. I'm not thinking about any man. I can't do that. When I think of God representing Himself as a man, He placed Himself in a person to come and do certain deeds in front of certain other human beings that were alive and present in that day. Now, these human beings that wrote about what they saw are no longer here. It would do us well to find the exact right kind of representation to who wrote what and who said what, because there's a lot of people out there saying what Jesus said and what God said, and He never did it. That's why I like reading from this proverb where it tells me, hey, you trust in God. Don't trust in man. I don't look to a church, a denomination, a seminary, a particular PhD person, someone that wrote books. Now, I have books in my library, and I love to read from some of the classic theological masterpieces written by men whose mind were not clouded by friendships, clouded by how much money was being spread abroad. Now listen what it says. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. In other words, withdraw from things that are evil. Now we know what evil is. We know what evil is. I don't have to tell you what evil is. There is evil and there is goodness. You don't want your child coming up around evil. If you do, you're a terrible parent. And the only way that you would want your child coming up around evil is for you to be on some kind of drugs or strung out on foolishness, that you prove that you're out of your cotton-picking mind. Now, when it says to turn away from evil, verse 8 tells us that it will be a healing to your body. That has the idea. See, the center of the human body in that day and age, back in the Old Testament days, was the navel. And so he says, this is where the center of your strength lied. He says that part of you will be strengthened. You know, you can get up in the morning and if you feel something in your gut that's not right, you got to get that taken care of. Take some kale pectate or something. But you got to strengthen the center of your body. This is what he's talking about. And look at the latter part of verse 8. And refreshment to your bones. In other words, the marrow of your bones will be thicker. Promoto. Man, and that comes up in the next verse, verse 9. It says, honor the Lord, promoto. That's where the Hebrew word comes from. Honor the Lord from your wealth. In other words, from your increase and from your revenue. What do we do with it? We waste it. I know that I've wasted a lot of my revenue, which did not bring honor to the Lord. And if I think back in past days and see all of that, you have to admit your sins. Cry out unto God. I didn't spend it all in the right place. I didn't do it right. We as Americans really have to look at that because we love to party, don't we? Oh, sure we do. We love to party. And from the first of all of your produce. In other words, what we try to do is we try to pinch off something and give God a little bit of what we have left. And I'm not talking about giving him the tithe. I'm not talking about that because it's not about that. That's a lie. You see how, you know what, the guy that really talks about that a lot, and he's dead now? Oh, that black preacher, I think he's from the Bahamas, and he all of a sudden died in a plane crash or something like that. And man, his whole scheme was using the scriptures to scheme to get money. He was a black guy from one of the islands. See? And he always talked about produce. And he used to love to talk about verse 10, so your barns will be filled with plenty. That has nothing to do with your storehouse being filled with money and stuff. It had absolutely nothing to do with that. Plenty of spiritual things. Plenty of stuff that will guide you through one part of your life to the next part of your life. See, that's why you trust in God, because God's going to take care of your daily need. Are you getting out there going to work? Are you getting out there producing a decent? Are you doing a decent day's work for a decent day's income? Then God will continue to provide that storage for you. He has for me. I have food here to eat. I mean, I have food to eat. I have fresh water to drink. I'm healthy somewhat that I know of. I wish I could feel stronger if I got out and exercised more. It's a beautiful day. I should go walking. Just walk around and exercise my limbs and do things like that. I think that's what I'll do today. I'll go to a walk park and walk. And at 72, keep my body going. Okay, go and shave myself. Tighten up. Don't have to go and spend money anywhere. Don't have any money to spend. But enjoy the life that I have. I have a bike. Put some air in the tires. Go to the beach. Take a couple of sandwiches with me and some fresh water. And eat those sandwiches and ride my bike on the beach. That's what I think I'll do today. Don't have anything else to do. Enjoy nature. Enjoy people. Enjoy where I am. That's the Lord giving me that strength. Oh, my goodness. And listen what it says. Listen what it says. Verse 10. So that your barns will be filled with plenty. And it says, and your vats will overflow with new wine. In other words, these are verses talking about what God will do in your life if you just give him a recognition, adoration of praise. And that is a wonderful thing. Then it says in verse 11, my son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. You see what he says? He says, don't reject when God corrects you, because God is going to correct you just like he's going to correct me. God is in the correcting business, and he corrects those whom he loves. The Lord loveth those whom he chasteneth. We can read that in other verses of the Bible. If you seem to be chastened by God or quickened by him, He's on your case. Things aren't going the way you think they should go. He may be attempting to get your attention. That's how God gains your attention, by bringing you through some perilous waters. He loves you when he brings you through these perilous waters. Here I am speaking this in the year 2016, and I know it's true. I know that it's true. I have no reason to lie to myself. God will bring you through these perilous times if you merely trust him. Now, look at verse 12. It says, for whom the Lord loves, what does he do? He reproves. If he loves you, he has to refute you. Even as a father, his son in whom he delights. A father takes joy in outpouring constant pardons to his son. And God takes that joy in pardoning us also. I have a note here to go to Proverbs 16 and 7. Let me go there right quick. It's good to go to my old Bible and read this. It says, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. You see what I mean? Because my enemies can see when the Lord is pleased with me. And my enemies can see me smiling and laughing and under the best attitude as I trust in God fully for everything that he brings about in my way. See, I'm trusting in the Lord, leaning on him, and he will direct my paths. That's why Psalms chapter 3 is a good part of verses for you to look at on a regular basis. Start reading Proverbs. Start reading the Psalms, not Psalms chapter 3, but Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 12. And of course, we started off with Psalms 91. I love reading those. Now, what I'd like to do before I leave, because I'm moved of the Spirit of God, I guess, to go into the New Testament and give you something about the words of Jesus and kind of like bring you up to par to what God would say. All right, I'm reading from John chapter 9. If you got a Bible and you can note this, or just drive along in your car and listen to me. John chapter 9, beginning with verse 1, says, and as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, teacher, who sinned or messed up or did something wrong that this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Now, in other words, they looked at the outward thing and said, ooh, he must have done something in order that he can't see. I often think about those things in my own life. Am I messed up because I did something in my life? Is there something that I need to attend to? Well, I know besides taking my meds this morning, which I haven't, which I should do, I should take those because it keeps me balanced, keep my blood pressure balanced, keep everything as balanced. It's very important. I have to go out and buy some vitamins today. That's very important. I have things that I have to keep up with. But just like people see people down and out, they're going to judge them by that. Jesus answered and said, it is neither that this man sinned or his parents. In other words, Jesus says, but you see him looking the way he looks, that the works of God might be displayed in him. So when you see someone crippled and going to the hospital, and you see a smile on their face when they go to the doctor, that's the glory of God being manifest. What these verses mean is that Jesus says, whatever your plot is in your life, God can rain his glory through it if you accept that as a part of God's will. And if you abide in that situation in the most peaceful of terms, then you will understand what the holiday season was supposed to be about. Joy, peace, love, happiness all the time through it, and not just looking for a particular season. So, excuse me, we have a tendency to judge ourselves and our lives by the wrong motives at times. And God is trying to straighten us out, saying, no, no, no. Things are like this, and so God can get the glory. Are you tracking with me? I ran into a friend of mine today. I hadn't spoken with him in a long time. Richard Palmquist from Truth Radio. I contacted him and I spoke with him. We hadn't spoken at least 10 years, something like that or more. I used to be on Truth Radio years ago, and he's white and I'm black. He's a few years older than myself. I used to always think that I was old until he told me his age. We laughed. We hadn't spoken in years. I think I'm going to share this with you so that you will know the kind of person I am. I've been in Richard's home. I met his dear wife before she passed away. They lost the battle with Alzheimer's, and I was speaking with Richard. I just introduced myself the way I usually did because he owned an internet radio, Truth Radio, and I was one of his subscribers on there. I did live radio from his radio equipment, which has now been moved to another part of the country. He doesn't do it anymore. I told him that I still do my webcast. We had a good talk, and he asked me that I think that Donald Trump was a racist. I said, Richard, are you kidding? No. That man is no more of a racist than you are. I said, but that man has a right to think on his own independently without having other people marginalize his thinking. No, he's not a racist, just like you're not a racist. I've been in Richard Palmtree's home where he lives up north. I drove my car up there when I had that lovely Lexus. But we had a great conversation speaking with each other, and we understand each other, and we know that one another, we're not racist. Now, how can I being black and he being white, and he never did anything for me and nor me for him. I paid him when I was using his network, and he has a right to feel the way he feels about anything. And I said, when Mr. Trump gets in office, he's going to attempt to make America a place where we're not globally minded. We don't have to think in group. Think independently. Think with the group you're running with. In this country, you have a right, if you paid your dues to be a citizen, to have a right just like anyone else. And you don't have to agree. Now, people that disagree with that, stay with your group. Doesn't make you a racist. But that proved the point that God is still on the throne, because after all this time, neither of us allow the political arena or the news media or anyone else to guide our understanding of the world that we live in. And anyone still has a right to purposefully come against what we believe. That's their right to do it. I had a great time talking with Richard. And thank you, Richard, for speaking with me. I hope that your life continues to grow with leaps and bounds. My time is about up, and I've enjoyed my little speak with you. For those of you that are still caught up in foolish things, you should check yourself and not to get caught up in those foolish things, such as the press, the media, politics, all of that. Concentrate on the nice blue sky that's over Southern California today, and an unjammed freeway so that you can get from one location to the other. Thank you, Johnny Blair, for the background music from your album entitled Fire.